Like most of us, there have been many times when Christy Anyabwile was struggling with her perspective. That's when she called her best friend.
I would say, hey, tell me what I already know. Tell me what I already know. And then she speaks the word of God to me.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of The Quiet Place. For January 14th, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh.
Dana, I know that both of us had the joy, the privilege of growing up in homes where God's word was really honored. And the Lord used the example of my parents to plant in me as a young girl seeds of love for God's word. And you had a similar experience, didn't you? And,
oh.
And your mom in particular, I think,
yeah.
This is such a great influence there.
I was 8 years old when my mom said, here's a daily devotion. And there wasn't, I'm doing devos and you're doing children's devos. There wasn't a, I'm going to help you because you can't do it. There was just an expectation that you're a Christian, you follow Jesus, that means you love and study his word. And that really put me on a trajectory for my whole life to love it. There was some training and some shepherding and some tools that my mom gave me, but mostly I think it was the expectation that was formative for me.
And what an important thing for mothers to hear and dads, that you can really plant in your children's lives, young ones, a seed of love for God's word. And the woman I am today, now in my 60s, has been hugely influenced by my parents' example and encouragement to get into the word, getting us under good preaching and good churches, Christian school, and a lot of other things, but just the love for the word of God has been such a huge gift to both of us. And both of us have loved teaching the word of God since we were little girls.
You know, shortly after that, 8-year-old Dana started doing devos, I officially announced to my family that I was going to be leading family devos.
So you were...
We started...
Take it in and give it out.
Yes, I still feel that. If the Lord teaches me something, I think that's a little bit the mark of a teacher. When you have a gift from the Lord to teach, whether... I'm not saying that I'm a great teacher. I'm saying I have a passion to teach. That if he teaches me something, I have to go tell someone. I don't care who it is, but someone has to be my pupil that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I love teaching.
And we love here at Revive Our Hearts getting women into the Word of God, because that's where life is, right? Now, our guest today did not have the same background that you and I do, did not grow up in a Christian home being saturated in the Word of God. But Christy Anyabwile, you have a different story, and I'm so glad you do, because there are a lot of people listening to our conversation who are thinking, I didn't grow up in a home like Dana or Nancy did, and maybe I just missed all that. Is it too late? You didn't come to know the Lord till after you and your husband, Thabiti, were married.
Yeah.
And tell us how the Word of God became such an important part of your early Christian experience.
So
and first, let me just say, welcome to Revive Our Hearts.
Thank you.
I'm supposed to say that, and we're so glad to have you here.
It is an honor and a joy to be here and to just have this conversation about what we love most, God's Word. I mean, I could literally do this all day, so thank you so much for having me.
We're kindred spirits here.
Yes, amen. So the interesting thing is, I did not, as a child, recognize the influences that were in my life until after I became a Christian.
Interesting.
So my grandmother was elderly when I was a little girl. She passed away a month shy of her 104th birthday.
Wow.
So I only knew my grandmother as an elderly woman. And, you know, we were a family of six, and I, in my early years, slept with my grandmother. We shared a bed in my early years. And I remember she had one of those old feather mattress,
the big lumpy
pillows.
Kind.
Yeah. And on the wall, she had one of those old tapestries of the Last Supper. And then she had her King James Bible. And so every morning, I would get on my knees on the side of the bed with my grandmother, and she would lead us in prayer every day. It was routine. I don't remember feeling a particular connection to God in those moments, but I knew it was important, and I wanted to honor my grandmother in that. The second thing that happened was throughout my childhood years, when my grandmother wasn't busy caring for us and doing things in the home while my parents were at work, she was reading her Bible. Wow. All day, every day. She read the Bible in the newspaper. That was it. But it wasn't until after the Lord saved me that I really began to value that time that I had with my grandmother early on. And she was a faithful churchgoer. She loved the Lord from the time that she was a little girl. And so I think the Lord was kind in, you know, having her example given to me at an early age and then being able to reflect back on that as someone, you know, who was now a believer and God's Spirit now showing me things that I maybe had just disregarded. So I guess I'm saying that to say to parents, to families, don't discount the value of whatever godly example that you're setting before your children. If you don't necessarily see the fruit, it does not mean that the Lord isn't at work. And it does mean that the Lord is doing His work in His way in His time, and He produces fruit from it.
Sweet.
And
yeah.
We may or may not see that fruit immediately, but we trust God's word that it doesn't return void and that it accomplishes what He sets out for it to accomplish.
What a great encouragement. And there is some elderly grandmother listening to this conversation right now.
Yes.
And it's giving her encouragement. And once you became a Christian, then I'm sure it was that you began to understand why this was so important to her.
Well, then it's sweet because now I get to have conversations with both my grandmothers. And the sweetness of our relationship, once I became a believer, just I cannot even put into words the value of that time. You know, being able to call my grandmother, ask her to pray for me, her talking to me about what she read in the scriptures that day, and just being able to have spiritual conversations about the Lord and what He was doing in our lives. I cannot even put into words the value of that. And so, yeah, it just became really, really sweet after that. And those are just some of my fondest memories of my grandmother's, is just having those telephone conversations. Because we lived, you know, I was in college and they were at home. So having a lot of telephone conversations about the Lord when we weren't together. So, yeah.
Can you remember, as a new Christian, you were a young wife, you and your husband came to know the Lord at the same time, which is another really sweet story.
Yeah.
Can you remember, like, did you right away start to have a hunger for God's word? How did that grow?
Mm-hmm.
What cultivated in you that hunger?
Yeah, so when the Lord saved us, we were in a church that was away from our home. And so the leaders of that church said, hey, when you get home, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that you can plug into. And so that's what we did. And we knew, we were like, okay, well, even though we knew the Lord had saved us, we also immediately knew there was a lot that we did not know. And so we're like, whoa, we got to get into this book. So we got Bibles. We got a Vines Concordance, like the big, thick ones. There was no online material at that point. Big Vines Concordance. And my husband and I would just sit at our breakfast nook, read the Word of God, ask each other questions, look up things in the concordance, you know, pray. And just the more we spent time in God's word, the more the Lord grew our hunger for His word. So it was literally starting to read the Bible and the Lord showing us Himself in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then also just, we couldn't wait. Like every morning we would get up and we couldn't wait to get back to that breakfast nook to open the Word of God and just to see what
like
the Lord was going to teach us.
It
was
desiring the milk of the Word.
You know, it's that new believer zeal and fervency that you have that I wish we could maintain like for the entirety of our Christian lives. I don't know any, do y'all know anybody who kind of maintains that level of just zealousness and fervor.
It is hard, but I've noticed, you know, when you think about physical eating, the more you eat, the less you want because you're full and you get stuffed and then, you know, you're not hungry anymore. But I think in the Word, it often works exactly the opposite. If you don't eat, you lose your appetite.
Exactly.
And the more you do eat, the more you long for it, the more you desire it, the more it satisfies, the more it fills, and you say, I want more.
Yeah. So, and situations and circumstances happen in life that cause that bond to break, you know? So the Word is always life-giving. But, you know, we go through seasons and times in life where we step away from the Word. And so, you know, I think it's just a challenge for us, but more than a challenge, an encouragement for us to not let the circumstances of life, you know, draw us away from the Word, but to press in even more, because that's where we're going to find life. And that's how we're going to be able to sustain mm-hmm. that sense of zeal and fervency and joy and just enlargement of our hearts in approaching God and living out the Christian life.
And actually, that's a good segue to where I want to go here, because I want us to just have a little round table. And if as you're listening today, if you're at a place where you can just stop and pull up a chair here at the table with us, open your Bible to Psalm 119 or scroll there. Christy has edited a book and actually contributed a number of chapters to a book called His Testimonies, My Heritage. The subtitle is Women of Color on the Word of God. So these are women from Asian backgrounds, African American, different ethnicities who've written 20-some chapters on Psalm 119, which is one, it's the longest and one of my favorite chapters mm-hmm. in God's Word. And I want us to just unpack some of that psalm today. Now, I wish we could just take time to mm-hmm. read it, which if you haven't ever done that, reading Psalm 119 aloud is a great experience. It takes you about 15 minutes, depending how fast you read. And we're going to tell you how you can get Christy's book if you want to find out more, if you want to take a deeper dive into Psalm 119. But as I was listening to Psalm 119 on my phone before this conversation, I was just thinking, what words keep popping mm-hmm. up? What are the key phrases and thoughts? And I noticed this juxtaposition of words like joy, hope, blessing, love. I love your word. It is my delight. I stand in awe of your word. You see that all through Psalm 119. And then you also see these hard places, like my soul clings to the dust. Mm. I am in great affliction. My heart is in deep trouble. I'm like a lost sheep. I'm confused. I don't know which way to go. I don't know how to get victory over sexual sin or how to keep my way pure. And you see these hardships, these hard places. And it mm-hmm. seems to me like the psalmist is saying, in these hard places, when that's where I am, it presses me to the Lord and to his word. Mm-hmm. And that ultimately that's how I get whatever I need, joy or that's life right. or healing. Or so I want to talk about just some of our own experiences, perhaps, how when we're in trouble, we're pressed, we're mm-hmm. stressed, we're anxious, we're angry, we're in a difficult marriage or with a difficult child or in a physical, you know, here we are at the start of a new year and none of us knows what this year is going to bring forth. God knows, mm-hmm. but there are going to be hardships.
Yeah.
And how in your experience, Dana, your experience, Christy, and mine, and I want, as you're listening to this conversation, I want you to think about your own experience. Mm-hmm. How have hard times and places pressed you to the Word of God, and how has the Word of mm-hmm. God rescued you? How has it brought you life? How has it helped you? How is it, what does the Word of God do for us? And I think it's going to give us a vision of why it's so important at the start of this year that we really dive into God's Word.
My first thought as you're saying that is that you're saying that when we're afflicted or troubled or overwrought with our sin, that the source and the solution is the Word of God. It's always the source and solution, mm-hmm. but we are not as mindful of it when everything's going well.
Yeah.
And the Word isn't quite as much a treasure, is it? Nancy, you know that Bob and I went through a really hard time in our marriage several years ago, and I remember just the darkness of those first few days as we realized, how'd this happen? How did we get here? How do we fix this? Who do we reach out to for help? I called a girlfriend, Donna, one of my dearest friends for the longest time. And I just said, it just feels dark. Mm-hmm. Everything just feels dark. Like even when I open the Word, my heart's so broken, I can hardly receive it. Mm-hmm. When I talk to a friend, I don't know what to say because where do I start? Mm-hmm. I've never hurt this much. I don't want to eat. I can't sleep. All that stuff that mm-hmm. we go through for a myriad of reasons, right? And she just said, his word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I said, Donna, I'm reading it, but I hurt. And she said, keep reading it, keep reading it. And notice this. He's not promising you a solar system of light. He's not promising you a stadium light. You're not going to see 150 yards or he's promising you a lamp. You're going to see a few steps.
Just for the next step.
And yeah. You just need to be satisfied to read his word and say, okay, God, this is my next step,
mm-hmm.
and take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then read his word and take the next step. And that's what I did. And it became the joy. It became the peace. It became the hope as I used it in that time of affliction and pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always think about it. I have a good friend, one of my best friends as well. Her name is Nadia. And whenever I'm going through a difficult time, I don't know how it started, but I would call her and I would say, hey, tell me what I already know.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good.
Tell me what I already know. And then she speaks the word of God to me. Sometimes when you're in pain, when you're suffering, when you're struggling, you do have that kind of time of dryness where maybe the word even feels cold or distant. But sometimes having someone to speak the mm-hmm. truth of the word to you, it helps to bring that yeah. light, right? And I was thinking about, Nancy, you made reference to this verse, verse 25 in Psalm 119. It says, my soul clings to the dust. Then it says, give me life according to your word,
mm-hmm.
solution. When I told you of my ways, confession, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. So the Lord gives us his word so that we might have life, so that we might see the light of day in the midst of darkness. And there's no other way. Like, we can't effectively, successfully come out of seasons of darkness if we don't have the light of the word
yeah, right.
shining on that situation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in those times of pain and struggle, we know that life is going to come through the word. So I need to have the word of life spoken over me, prayed over me, either myself or someone else. I need to be quick to take my burdens to the Lord in prayer, trusting that he will answer and that he will teach me and he will give me more of himself. And that's just been the pattern of my mm-hmm. life, and I'm pretty confident the pattern of every Christian's life in the midst of difficulties
mm-hmm.
is we see Christ, we see the Lord come through, if I could say it in that way, come through
mm-hmm.
when we spend time in his word. And it seems so simple, but I don't know, maybe it's the enemy or what, I don't know what it is that makes it feel difficult in the midst of hardship, you know? So sometimes I just, you know, having, as you said, Dana, friends to come alongside.
Don't you think one yeah. of the things that makes it difficult is sin? Like when Bob and I were struggling, there was sin.
Mm-hmm.
And when friends are struggling, there's sin. When there's struggles in your church, there's sin. And when one person sins grievously, the Bible really says, hey, watch yourself while you're restoring this person, lest you also sin. It says
right.
in Galatians 6:1.
Yeah.
Because what happens when one person sins is it feeds our flesh. It feeds our hurt. It feeds our woundedness and our tendencies to sin. And I think sin gets in the way of us hearing the word. Philip Yancey once said that sin is like static interference,
mm-hmm.
that we're trying to hear from God. You know, that's kind of an old language now, with Wi-Fi and everything. So think of it this way, as it's a bad Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah.
Sin is what gets in the way.
It's disruptive.
Yeah, it disrupts That's that right. ability to hear. And Psalm 119 even says that. Hey, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word.
That's right.
And even when we're sinning, the solution to that affliction
mm-hmm.
is coming back to the word. And, you know, sometimes when I'm sinful, my soul is so hard that I have to read something over and over and over again until it breaks through the soil of that
mm-hmm.
hardness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking about that verse 25, Christy, I have a dear friend who has been through some very painful mm-hmm. circumstances where she was sinned against, was wronged in some very devastating ways. And this gal comes from a rough background and a lot of abusive things in her past, and she has at different times basically had a death wish. Mm-hmm. And she told me in a conversation not too long ago, she said, every night I've been asking God to kill me. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a woman who knows the Lord and loves the Lord, but there is this, like, the enemy has got a hold of her mind because of some circumstances that were past her control. And I was listening to this, and I was so heavy-hearted. I was just burdened for how to minister grace to her. And I thought about two verses in Psalm 119. She said, mm-hmm. I ask God, just kill me. Just, I'm not going to kill myself, but would you just kill me? And then I thought about this verse 25, and I'm reading mm-hmm. it in the CSB here. Mm-hmm. I was with her the next day, and I'd been thinking and praying for her, and I said, I read her these two verses. The psalmist said, my life is down in the dust. Mm-hmm. The ESV says, my soul clings to the dust. I mean, how much lower can you get? Mm-hmm. Give me life through your word. And then verse 107 says, I am severely afflicted. Lord, give me life according to your word. Yeah. I said to her, what if every time you want to pray, Lord, kill me, that's not God putting that prayer in your heart. Satan comes to kill and steal and destroy.
That's right.
What if you turn that to a prayer, even though you're not sure you want to live? Mm-hmm. What if you said, Lord, my life is in the dust. Mm-hmm. My soul clings to the dust. I am severely afflicted. Would you give me life according to your word? Mm-hmm. Would you speak life to me? She said, well, I'm not sure I want that. I said, you know, he sent his word and healed them, Psalm 107 mm-hmm. says. Mm-hmm. God's word has such power to change the way we think, to change what we love, mm-hmm. to change what we long for, to give us the guidance, to turn the darkness into light, to turn the hopelessness and despair into hope. I've seen this through this ministry over and over and over again. I've seen it in my own life. I'm seeing it in my sweet friend's life. Mm-hmm. As God is, even when she has no idea which way to turn, she knows that the word of God can bring mm-hmm. healing and that God is going to give her life according to his word. And I'm so thrilled, Christy, that you've put together this book of reflections on Psalm 119, because God's word itself is life-giving. It's not what you and your friends have written. It's how can we get people into the word of God, which is so powerful to heal and to change and to revive. Revive me according to your word. That's in Psalm 119. And I know that many who are listening to this conversation today are in that soul clinging to the dust place.
Yeah.
Or many others of us have a friend who is. And if it's not you right now, it may be you around the corner, you know? We go through those times, and you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. This book might be a study that could help you get into Psalm 119 to get hope and joy and life and peace, healing, restoration, revival, whatever is needed. And we want to make Christy's book available. I call it Christy's book. She's the editor of it, and women of many different ethnicities have contributed to this book. It's called His Testimonies, My Heritage. God's Word, My Heritage, My Hope, My Heritage. If the Lord prompts you to make a donation to Revive Our Hearts this week of any amount, your gift is an investment that will help us give God's Word to hurting people. Help them get restored, not because of my words or our words, but because of his word. And when you make a donation today, if you request Christy's book on Psalm 119, we'd love to send that to you just as our way of saying thank you for investing in this ministry. Mm-hmm. Thank you for helping us get the word of God to women in this country and around the world, women of many different languages and tongues and tribes and nations, people groups. They're hungry for God's word, and that's what we're doing. So as you help us, we'd like to minister to you by sending you a copy of Christy's book on Psalm 119. So be sure to ask for that book when you contact us at reviveourhearts.com. You can go there to make your donation, or you can give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. Let us know that you'd like to give a gift to the ministry, and then be sure and request Christy's book on Psalm 119. It's not actually called Christy's book, but that's not what we're calling it here. And I want to also encourage you to join us again for Revive Our Hearts tomorrow, because we're going to pick up this conversation with Dana and Christy and do a little workshop, little how-to session on studying the Word of God. How can you get into God's Word and open it up and have it make sense and make sense of it and have it do what it's intended to do in your life? Now, it's not going to be like a whole seminary course, but we're three women who love the Word, who love studying God's Word, and we're going to just talk together about some of the practical tools that help us to do that. Mm-hmm. So be sure and join us tomorrow as we continue this conversation with Dana Gresh and Christy Anyabwile on Psalm 119, getting into God's Word and getting God's Word into you, right here on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth points you to the true lamp for your feet and light for your path. The program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.